Our star guest today is a New York-based singer-songwriter with a difference. Becca Kidwell has an extraordinary way of telling stories through song, drawing influence from Mary Chapin Carpenter, Carole King, Barry Manilow, and Taylor Swift, amongst others. Becca, welcome to Abbey 104.
Thank you.
Now, you hold a degree in drama from the University of Georgia, but you'd never really wanted to go into performing.
No, I had never intended to be a performer. I wanted to be a theater director. That was my intention. And then I even got disillusioned with that and decided to become a high school English teacher.
You are now performing as a singer-songwriter, but you do really bring out storytelling in what you do. Did your experience as a school teacher actually help build that approach to performance?
I believe it did. I mean, part of what I taught was I taught English literature, so it kind of went hand in hand with the story. And also, I always did a multimedia approach when I was teaching literature because students, not everyone was so keen on reading, so getting them interested in stories through music or through film with the literature was my way to get everyone in the stories.
So were you a bookworm when you were growing up? Did you always have your nose in a book?
Yes, absolutely.
What sort of stories were you reading then when you were growing up?
When I was little, it was like Nancy Drew and Sweet Valley High as I got a little older, and then I went on to the classics. One of my favorite classics was Crime and Punishment, but my favorite book of all time is A Wind in the Door by Madeline L'Engle.
Now let's explore the fact that initially you didn't want to perform, but you sort of accidentally fell into it, didn't you, at the age of 40, as part, I think, of a special one-off performance which you put together?
Yes, I had performed in choruses when I was a kid, but I was always like told I had a pretty voice, but nothing more than that. I wasn't really encouraged to perform. So I was like, okay, just something that I do for fun. But for my 40th birthday, people had been really supportive of me and going after things I wanted, and that included my family had and my husband had been supportive of me moving to New York to follow my dream of becoming a theater director. And so I wanted to thank them, and one of the ways I know to thank people for me is with my singing, even when I wasn't confident of it as being anything more than just a pretty voice. And so I went and I put on this one-off show for my friends and family, and I liked it. And I was like, I want to do this again, but I want to do it properly with a real musical director and director.
Sounded like you got a lot more out of it than you thought you would. Now, you did move on, didn't you? And you joined the Manhattan Association of Clubs and Cabaret. That's called MAC. And
yes,
it wasn't that long before you got your debut show on.
Yes. That was the following year. And again, I did it properly. I joined the MAC Association, which is a very welcoming community. And I met these two wonderful women, Gretchen Reinhagen and Tracy Stark, and they really guided me in constructing my first debut show. And I created this wonderful show called A Song and Its Girl, which, even if you can figure out the literary allusion to that, that's A Horse and Its Boy, C.S. Lewis. I was only going to do that show only once, one performance. That was meant to only be a one performance thing. And then I was like, let's do it one more time. And then let's do it one more time.
You're making a habit of that, aren't you?
And then it qualified for enough performances to be nominated for an award. And
how did it feel then, Becca? moving into that sort of sphere of show business, something totally different at the age of 40, when a lot of people might be thinking, well, you know, I'm happy with my life. You know, I don't want to necessarily do anything new. Must have been great.
Oh, it was absolutely great. I mean, I turned 40, pretty much that was like an opening up for me in general, of that I didn't have to obey the rules anymore of XYZ of career path and do what everyone was telling me. And so I was very open to wherever my life wants to lead me. And my husband and my family are very supportive of that. So I've been very grateful for that, that they've been by my side, allowing me to follow my dreams.
And as you say, you didn't stop at the first show, A Song and Its Girl. You've recently created the show Together Inside. You are now moving on, aren't you, to the next show, which is If You Hadn't, But You Did.
Yes.
Tell us about that one. It's quite a fascinating backstory, I think.
Yes, actually, it was very interesting. Basically, I can say anything that a large part of what I do in my life does not go according to plan, or at least not nothing starts out the way I intend it. Or, well, this show, I knew I wanted to do something a little different than I had done in the past, because most of my shows had been based on me and telling my story. And I had done up to this point about 6 shows now, and I wanted to do something a little different and something that's kind of slightly a requisite in the American cabaret scene is to do a Great American Songbook show. Being the storyteller I am, I always usually let the story dictate the songs rather than the songs dictate my show. But this time I was like, well, maybe it's time to do a Great American Songbook show. That meant that the songs were going to dictate the show. And I was like, well, how are we going to do this? Because one agreement I had with my husband was that I was not going to ever do a romance show, because we've been married for 17 years, happily married with very little conflict. And we both agreed that that would be a very boring show to ever do, is a show about our relationship. A love story without conflict is boring. So largely the Great American Songbook is a large part love songs. So I was like, how do I approach the Great American Songbook in a different way? And I went digging through it and I was like, well, there's some fun, really naughty songs here. And murder. As we were starting to put the show together, the working title was The Gratuitous Great American Songbook Show, just because it was a joke that every cabaret performer should do a Great American Songbook Show. So I was just tongue-in-cheek saying that it was my Gratuitous Great American Songbook Show. And then I took my photos for the show, which we did a bunch of different film styles for the photo shoot. And we came out with these beautiful film noir photos. I sent them to my director, Jeff Harner, and because I was like, I think this is something. And when I sent them to him, he was like, yes, this is your show. And we knew right then that that was the direction it was going in. And that's how the show became If You Hadn't, But You Did, Songs of Love, Sex, and Murder.
Jeff Harner is a great friend of this particular show, and I know that you've enjoyed working with him, haven't you? What's it like working with somebody of the standard of Jeff as your director?
He's incredibly generous and supportive, and I mean, and I've learned so much from him too. I mean, both working with him and also I go to his shows and I observe him as well in his performances, because I learned so much from watching him perform. But he's just the most generous and giving person, who he lifts me up and he gives of his time and his talent to make sure that I give my best performance, and also to make me feel safe, because this show required me to be fully committed as a character that was completely opposite of me. I come off as very sweet and nice in real life, and this was very cold and icy, and I freaked a lot of people out, even people who knew me, because they were like, who's this?
We don't know this person.
I don't break character the whole show, and I wouldn't have had the confidence to do that if he hadn't given me the secure underpinnings to do that.
Now, you talked about the generosity of Jeff, but I want to talk about your generosity, because you are an advocate for a number of socially aware matters, aren't you? The essential tremor awareness.
Yes.
Domestic violence prevention, mental illness, and women's rights. Let's just look at one of those, if we may, at the moment. The essential tremor awareness. That's something I don't think that we're very aware of in this country, to be honest.
Yes, I've had an essential tremor in my hand since I was 5. It's a hereditary essential tremor, so pretty much my hands shake all the time. I don't even notice it because I've had it since I was 5. And it's actually a pretty common disorder that many people have, but it's not talked about because it's so common. Well, a combination of it's so common, but it's also not treated very much. It's just starting to get recognition and starting to get treated more. And so the fact that I perform and people see my hands shaking, when I first started performing, even that was one of those things that people would come up to me and they're like, oh, are you nervous? And I'd be like, no, I'm fine. Thank you. My hands just shake because I have the essential tremor. And after a while, I realized that not all my performances, but when it's appropriate, I share that information. I always share it with critics because critics otherwise think I'm nervous, and performing on stage is my happy place and I'm usually calm, and I don't want them to think that I'm nervous, because I'm not. I love being on stage.
Becca, it's amazing to think where you came from. You didn't start performing till you were 40, but you've been a teacher. You're an advocate for issues that people need to be more socially aware of. And you have this blooming cabaret career ahead of you. And I thank you so much for joining us on the program today. And can I wish you also the very best for the future, not only in your cabaret work, but for your advocacy work as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Doors are open, the crowd's all here. There's love and joy and cheer. The music's playing, the joint is jumping. We've made it through this year. Ready for this place, this paradise of people with smiles on every face, all joy and no upheaval. I'd like to stay away from town, behind my glowing screen, and drown out every sound with my old routine. We were together inside, alone but together, we had no need to hide. Now all together, alone in this room, we resume this game of pride. I'm not ready for this place, this happy ever after. The bold win the race, then, now, and hereafter. I'd like to stay away from town.
together inside. Alone but together, we had no need to hide. Now all together, alone in this room, we resume this game of pride. Alone but together, we had no need to hide. Now all together, alone in this room, we resume this game of pride. I'm not ready. No, I'm not ready.